Okay. Because we want to try to stay on time, we're going to bring out our next gentleman, and this is one of the traditions, one of the few remaining traditions that we make sure not only gets on the air, but we're real particular about the person who does it. For the traditional reading of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Fred Willard.
It is a pleasure to be here. May I have my material? Thank you.
Mr. Willard, you are on A Minute with Stan Hooper, aren't you?
A Minute with Stan Hooper, yes.
It's on tonight, isn't it?
Tonight, yes.
9 o'clock, a very special episode.
Two very special episodes, thank you, yes.
Hey, do you make up your lines all the time, or did the scripts ever, like, did you have a script, do you have a written word, or do you make the lines up?
You know, I hate to be rude, but actors feel uncomfortable talking about their own projects in public, but I'll be glad to discuss it with you backstage.
Oh, I understand. All right, well, you know, have a good...
Thank you so much.
So I should, I'm going to, okay.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Tony.
I wish he hadn't done that. It just commercializes the whole venture. The story I'm going to read was written by Clement C. Moore and myself. The story I'm about to tell happened many years ago in a simpler time, a time when women wore kerchiefs to bed and men wore caps, a time when a furry intruder like a mouse was not a cause of panic, but considered a part of the warm home and hearth, a time when a couple would prepare for and then be startled by a Christmas visitor, when a stranger entering your home midnight was a source of amusement and wonder and not fear. 'Twas a simpler time, 'twas a sweeter time, 'twas a night long ago. In fact, it was the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even our mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. What sugar plums were, no one is quite sure, but we trust they were not only tasty but pure. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. There was no thought of the least hanky-panky. If we missed Santa's visit, my wife would be cranky. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and shouted, "Hey, what happened?" The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. The scene before me was so hauntingly bright, it looked like a movie shot day for night. When what to my wandering eyes would appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. His simple commands were so certain and breezy, I would have confused them with Grumpy and Sneezy. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. Forgive the prose, I get carried away. I was considered somewhat of a poet in my day. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. I remembered it well, though I had no suspicion, but in case I had to give the police a description. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke had encircled his head like a wreath. My wife's protestations of smoking indoors is a rule I was happy that Sandy ignored. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself, because I knew when my wife got a look at his size, she'd relax with my diet. Oy, can she criticize? A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "A Mike and Brian Christmas to all, and to all a good night." Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Fred Willard.
And the merriest Christmas to you and everyone.
Thank you, Fred. Fred Willard, everyone.